Welcome to Breakthrough with Brig, the podcast that teaches high-achieving Black women how to use thought work to break through barriers, get out of their own way, and become their best self in the most loving and sustainable way. Y'all ready? Let's dig in. Hey guys, how y'all doing? Episode 174. Welcome back to another Heart to Heart, our journey together. And today we're going to dive into something I believe has been life-changing for me. You know, it's my favorite word. If you've been following me, you know the thing I am the most convinced that we need to offer ourselves as Black women. It is compassion, self-compassion, for sure. And so today I want to talk about how to introduce this to your life, because I know for some of you, it's like a foreign thing. Like, we say self-compassion, but like, how do we do that? So I want to introduce a framework that actually shows you how to bring self-compassion in, how to challenge yourself when you're not, how to know when you're not. And so you might be wondering, why should I tune in? Well, if you've ever felt like you're constantly battling with yourself, or if that harsh, that inner critic and that self-talk is your default mode, this episode could be your sanctuary. I really mean that. Like, can you create a sanctuary within yourself? We're so used to finding sanctuary in food, in TV, in social media, in places. But can you find and create sanctuary within yourself? We're going to unravel the mystery of self-compassion. I'm going to share my personal story just a little bit. I'm going to wait till the end because I want to teach you. And then it's going to be less about me and more about how to implement it. But I'm going to give you actionable steps to embrace gentleness. Yes, I said it. Gentleness towards yourself. Okay, so after today, you will leave with a set of practical tools and insights that will help you shift the way you speak to yourself, fostering a kinder and more supportive inner dialogue. You'll learn how to recognize and quiet that inner critic, replace self-doubt with self-assurance, and nurture a sense of inner peace and confidence. I'm just going to give you a simple tool. It's very simple. So don't go, oh Lord, this is going to be a lot of work. It won't. I promise you, it won't. This isn't just about feeling better either. It's about building a foundation of self-respect and understanding that fuels your decisions, enhances your relationships, and leads to a more authentic, fulfilling life experiences. Let's embark on this journey together and explore how self-compassion can unlock new levels of personal growth and well-being. So let's start out though. What is self-compassion? Self-compassion involves treating oneself with kindness, understanding. I'm going to say that again. It's so key. Understanding and supporting during times of failure. Do I need to repeat it again? I think I do. Understanding and supporting during times of failure. That's what self-compassion is. Perceived inadequacy or suffering, meaning I am going to be understanding and support myself during times of failure. Any times of perceived, notice I said perceived inadequacy, because most of the times we are trained and conditioned to perceive ourselves as inadequate when actually what we are human. There's a difference. Inadequacy and humanness. Humans are not 100%. every fucking time. So perceived inadequacy could just actually be you just being human, queen, or giving yourself, offering yourself understanding and support during suffering. And yes, there are times, I don't care how many I's you dot, how many T's you cross, there are times where shit will hit the fan and we will have suffering or pain. And when we resist it, we have suffering, but that's another podcast. For those of you who are my clients, you know exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about the resistance framework. But it's the practice of being as caring and understanding with yourself as you would be a good friend facing similar challenges. Self-compassion has three main components. So let's talk about them. Self-kindness, being gentle and understanding with oneself rather than harshly critical. Kind, how often do you show yourself kindness, queen, especially when you flat on the back, especially when you're suffering? There's a difference between kindness and numbing, not, oh, I feel bad, I need to go get something to eat. That's not necessarily kindness. It can be, but sometimes that's numbing, which is different than kindness. I want to say that again. Sitting up with a bowl of ice cream, watching Netflix because you had a bad day isn't necessarily kindness. That could be numbing out from the pain. And kindness would be actually to feel the pain, to tend to it, to say, what's wrong? What do you need? To give it understanding, to be with yourself, to understand yourself. But when we're sitting there with a bowl of ice cream, watching Netflix or scrolling for 2 hours, numbing out, we're not understanding ourselves. We're not even paying attention to ourselves. That's not kindness. Okay. And no, I'm not saying watching Netflix and eating ice cream is wrong, because that could be kind, but I want you to do it intentionally. So that's the first part. I know I went off on a tangent. Second part is common humanity. Recognizing that suffering and personal inadequacies are part of the shared human experience. In other words, inadequacy, as I said before, is just being human. That's part of being human, right? And we all have it. It's part of the human experience, that self-compassion. Like, oh, I have down days just like everybody else. Everybody farts, shit, belches, has diarrhea. Like, everybody does stupid shit sometimes. Like, all of us, that is part of common humanity. And yes, I'm a nurse, so I know everybody does all of that. I have wiped the best of asses. I can't tell you who they are, but I have wiped some of the best of asses, right? That is our common humanity. Yes, I did say that. Y'all can stop laughing at me. The third part of compassion is mindfulness. Holding one's painful thoughts and feelings in balance, awareness, rather than over identifying with them. Did you hear that? Mindfulness is holding one's painful thoughts, feelings in a balanced awareness, meaning that day sucked. I can't believe this happened. I can't believe that. With a balanced awareness, without overly identifying with them. And for us, the overly identified with them is, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I should have done it this way. We take over responsibility for how the whole thing laughed, not only how we act, but how everybody else act, and then how they reacted to how we act and what we said, and we were supposed to say it differently. And therefore we are responsible for how they feel, right? That's not compassionate. That's too much to hold. That's too much responsibility for you. You can't be all of that. We can't. I know we've been trained and conditioned as Black women to be caretakers, but we cannot care for how everybody thinks, feels, and what they do. We are not that powerful yet. They tell us we aren't powerful at all, but expect us to be that powerful. You see the dichotomy in this? It's all bullshit. And that's why I want you to like strip yourself of the responsibility for taking care of everybody, because that is not compassionate. So what else is not compassionate? Because I know a lot of us have this thing about compassion. And I want us to understand the crucial distinction between self-compassion and self-pity and self-indulgence or self-esteem. So let's quickly identify. Self-pity. While self-pity isolates individuals in their suffering, self-compassion, recognizing suffering as a shared human experience. Self-pity is, oh, woe is me, and it only happens to me, and we isolate ourselves, and I'm the unicorn, and this only happens to me. It's very isolating, and it's not fair. Where self-compassion goes, yep, I'm having a bad day, and so does everybody else. It doesn't mean that it doesn't feel bad. It still feels bad, but we understand that it is part of the shared human experience. And actually, that promotes connectedness to humans. Like, yep, I'm human. Had a bad day. Yep, I'm human. I said something out my neck. I didn't think about it. Yep, I'm human. That is how I offer myself self-compassion. I'm human. I'm not a cyborg. So many times I tell us to stop thinking like cyborg. We are not cyborgs, meaning we are robots. We do the same thing perfectly over and over again. No, ma'am. Use is human. Okay? Understand the difference between self-pity and self-compassion. Secondly, self-indulgence. Self-compassion is not about avoiding responsibility or overindulging. Like I was talking about, eating all the ice cream. I deserve this. Overindulging. That's basically numbing. It's about acknowledging one's feelings and needs in a healthy, balanced way. I had a bad day. And I know you want to eat ice cream and watch TV. And if that's what we need to do, okay. But we're going to do so and be like honest about it. I feel like shit. My feelings were hurt. I can't believe that they took that way, that went like that. After all I've done, they think of me like this, acknowledging those feelings, not, I can't believe they such and such, like not from that point of view, but from a view that hears you, that understands you. I know I get it. That really fucking hurt. That really hurt my feelings that my friend would do that, that my boss would say that, that people who know me would think this of me, right? Understand that, feel that, allow for that, as opposed to indulging over it and not acknowledging the feelings, okay? That's the difference between self-indulgence or numbing and self-compassion. Now, self-esteem. Unlike self-esteem, which often depends on external achievements or comparisons with others, self-compassion is a consistent, internal, supportive attitude, regardless of external circumstances. Meaning, I can be compassionate with myself when I'm 250 pounds, and I can be compassionate with myself when I'm 150 pounds. I can be compassionate with myself when I make $50,000, and I can be compassionate with myself when I make $150,000. I can be compassionate with myself when I am running a 10-minute mile, and I can be compassionate with myself when I can barely get off the couch. It's a continuum. Self-esteem is like, it's based on external achievement. So these things give me esteem. I am esteemed because I do these things. I am more esteemed. That's self-esteem. Okay, so Brick, what's the purpose of all of this self-compassion shit you're talking about, right? The purpose of self-compassion and reason why I am so big on this is because the primary purpose of self-compassion is to provide emotional resilience. Emotional resilience. Listen, the one thing that we need to get to the levels that you guys want to get to is emotional resilience. Barely is it another degree. Barely is it another strategy. Barely is it another planner, a network, a meeting. What is needed for us as Black women is emotional resilience, being able to feel our emotions when they are high and when they are low, and resiliently being compassionate with yourself. It allows individuals to navigate you, to navigate difficult emotions in situations with greater ease and less distress. Here's the deal. You want to do big shit. I coach a lot of you guys. Some of the stuff you guys are doing, you are stepping into new territories. You guys are doing some shit that I'm like, whoa. You guys are in meetings with people that I'm like, whoa, right? With future presidents of the United States, with leading and directing in public roles. You guys are coaching and building empires and have hundreds and thousands of people following you, right? And with that, as you navigate that, there comes greater emotional highs and lows. And with that, you will need greater emotional resilience and greater ease with less distress. Because if not, you will tap out. You will tap out. Self-compassion promotes well-being, reduces anxiety and depression, and encourages healthier lifestyles and behavior. How? Because what's the most compassionate thing to do? Right? When we look at our lifestyles, when we look at our behavior, when we are thinking from a way that is compassionate, some of the stuff that we do, we won't do because it's like, this isn't good for me. This isn't compassionate for me. Let's see what the science says about it, though. There are scientific studies and research in neuropsychology that suggests that self-compassion can have a profound impact on brains and bodies. According to studies, practicing self-compassion can, one, activate soothing and safety systems. Y'all know I'm all about safety. I think that is the thing for us, right? Self-compassion activates soothing and safety systems. Self-compassion activates the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest response. That is part of our autonomic nervous system. Our nervous system has two branches, autonomic and central nervous system. Our autonomic nervous system has a sympathetic branch and a parasympathetic branch, right? And so rest and digest is the parasympathetic nervous system, and it promotes a feeling of safety and calmness. Why do we need that? I'm going to explain later, so just keep listening. The other thing that science says that self-compassion does is it reduces the stress response. It decreases the activity in the amygdala, which is that part of the brain that gets hijacked, and it is the brain's threat detection center, which is involved in fear and stress responses, right? Self-compassion enhances emotional regulation. Practicing self-compassion helps in developing a more resilient and stable sense of self, aiding in emotional regulation. Okay, let's talk about it, because there is a neurobiology of safety. From a neurobiological standpoint, self-compassion creates safety by signaling to the brain that it's okay to be imperfect and that one is not alone in their imperfections. I'm going to say it again. From a neurobiological standpoint, self-compassion creates safety by signaling to the brain it is okay to be imperfect. So in other words, when we don't have it, what we're saying is imperfection is not okay. It is not safe for us to be human. We have to be superhuman. And we wonder why we end up burning ourselves out. Without self-compassion, we don't signal to the brain that we are okay. We as ourselves are okay. perfectly imperfect, it is okay. And that I am not alone. I'm not the only one on the island. I don't have to worry about getting kicked off the island because we all fucked up. That's what that means. I'm not alone in my imperfection means I don't have to say, oh, I'm the only one. I'm wondering if they see me. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm the only one like this. And then try to hide our imperfection. It is no, I am perfect with them. And I'm not afraid of getting kicked off the island because we all are imperfected. This sense of safety is crucial for allowing the brain and the body to relax. Relax. When we relax, we heal. To heal, meaning we have better immunity. We don't get all the cancers, all the chronic diseases. To heal, to repair, and to grow, to expand, to solve bigger problems. We're going to talk about that later. It expands our curiosity and a sense of self, allowing us to take on more. When we practice self-compassion, we're essentially telling our nervous system that we are in a safe environment, reducing the body's stress response and allowing for a more regulated emotional state. The more safe our body feels, the more curious, the bigger the problems we solve. The bigger the problems we solve, the more value we create, the more money we make. And that's how we close the power gap with self-compassion. So why am I so key on us creating self-compassion? That paragraph right there. Because it allows us to grow, to relax, to heal. We're not as sick. We can grow more. We can solve more. And we can relax and have joy in our life. We signal to our nervous system that we are safe. Finally, we can signal. We can send out the signal. We're safe. Our ancestors never could send out that signal. We can, but it must be intentional. And we do that through self-compassion. Why should you want a regulated state, Brig? All of this talk about nervous system regulation, why should we want it?
This podcast is sponsored by Brig Johnson Coaching. Hey, I have some exciting news for all of my high-achieving women out there. That's right. I get the emails and DMs from you guys saying you wish you were my target market. I understand. We need great allies too. And we need allies with well-managed minds. Well, I've listened. So this offer is for you too, because it's a one-on-one offer. So if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, you're a woman of color or not, or an ally. If you're tired of feeling like you can't do more, I'm here to help. My one-on-one 6-month coaching program is designed specifically for you. Together, we will work on strategies to help you manage your stress and help you achieve your goals. Because women quitting on their dreams is just not an option. This is what my 6-month program can do for you. Instead of time management, we will uncover why you manage your time the way you are so that you can prioritize self-care, giving you more time to do the things you love. Are you struggling with imposter syndrome? Are you anxious with a chaotic mind? I get it. We target the root causes of imposter syndrome, helping you gain the confidence and self-assurance to pursue your goals and succeed in your career and your personal life. Do you struggle with communication issues, difficulty expressing yourself effectively, or asserting your needs professionally or personally? You'll learn to cultivate a positive relationship with yourself. We'll work on the why this issue is for you, why this is happening, helping you resolve the inner conflict so that you can easily take care of the external conflict with others. When it comes to communicating your needs, you don't need another communication class on how to resolve clients' issues. Once you uncover your hidden conditioning, you will have the skills to build stronger, more productive relationship with colleagues, clients, and ultimately leading to greater success and growth in your business and personal life. Listen, If you're a high-level woman ready to cultivate more meaningful and fulfilling relationships, both with yourself and others, and you take your business and professional growth seriously and you want to take it to the next level, you and your relationship with you and your brain is your greatest asset. My coaching program is perfect for you. You don't have to continue putting others first and neglecting your own needs and desires in the process. Because remember, you are your greatest asset. Let's work together to create a life that you enjoy, of connection and success. If this interests you, reach out, book a breakthrough call at brigjohnson.com/breakthrough. Again, brigjohnson.com/breakthrough. Look forward to talking to you.
Queens, particularly those of you who are entrepreneurs, executives, and professionals, you want to be in a regulated state because it allows you to perform optimally in the fast-paced, high-pressure environments in which you operate. Being emotionally and mentally regulated ensures peak performance. Maintain balance. A regulated state helps in maintaining healthy work-life balance, allowing for success in professional endeavors without sacrificing personal well-being. How many of us are sacrificing our personal well-being for professional endeavors because we're not balanced? Bringing self-compassion in allows for nervous system regulation. Regulation helps you bring that balance. It also helps you lead effectively. Effective leadership requires the ability to manage one's emotions and respond thoughtfully to challenges. Regulation facilitates this and enhances your leadership qualities. And lastly, it fosters growth. Personal and professional growth is facilitated by a state of regulation. In other words, the same shit that it takes you 2 hours to do or to memorize or to work through could actually take you 30 minutes if you were regulated. That means you can go home that much sooner, right? If you're studying, if you're in school, the same thing that takes you 2 hours, 3 hours, you could reduce the amount of time that you grew, that you understood it by being regulated. Where learning and development can occur without being hindered by excessive stress or excessive turmoil. I want to introduce the CARE framework for self-compassion. The CARE framework is kind of similar in the sense that I don't know why I like doing this, but it's easy for me. Like the CARE framework, I'm going to give you the C. The C, y'all know what the C is. What's the C? Come on. Like if you were spelling out the word CARE and it was a framework for self-compassion, what's the C? And if you said compassion, you would be right. I know, I'm so creative. All right, so the CARE framework, number one, compassionately acknowledge is the C. Compassionately acknowledge, that's the framework. When we're wanting to develop self-compassion, compassionately acknowledge. Like I was given that example of had a bad day, tell the truth. I had a really bad day. I can't believe they did that. I feel bad. I wasn't expecting that. I felt blindsided. Like, tell yourself the truth compassionately, not from, I can't believe this happened or you did this wrong, but compassionately acknowledge it. You can use a tool. You can use a self-awareness journaling. And what I would do is I would begin by acknowledging all your thoughts and feelings and make this a judgment-free zone. This isn't the time to censor. This isn't the time to curate. It's your time to tell yourself the truth. All of it. All of it. The good, the bad, the ugly. Just create a time where you Listen to yourself. Use this journal time to write out any critical thoughts or harsh self-talk you notice throughout the day, especially those that are on repeat. Use this journal to find patterns of thinking. What does your harsh critic typically say? And one of the examples could be that your harsh critic will always say, like, I'm not good enough to do this or to lead this. Like, I can't believe they picked me. They must be trying to set me up for me to fail or whatever. Like, write that down and then compassionately acknowledge the thought. See it as a natural response to stress or challenge, not an absolute truth. Not an absolute truth in that I'm not good enough to lead this project, but oh, this is my natural response. This is my pattern. This is my habit. This is what I do when I am faced with stress or challenge, and see it as that. It's not about your capabilities. See it as a practice thought. That's what I say. Oh, this is my practice thought. Here it comes. It's my habit thought, right? But is it true? Why or why not? Ask, journal that. Not word, and ask yourself, where did it come from? Okay. And this leads us to the next part of the CARE framework, which is the A. And this is to allow space for self-reflection. So if C was compassionately acknowledging, telling yourself the truth, 2 is A in the CARE framework is allowing space for self-reflection. And that means mindful meditation or quiet reflection time. Now, when I say this, I'm not meaning sitting cross-legged in the meadow, like with your eyes closed, meditating. I'm not talking about that. I mean, to meditate means to focus on, to concentrate on. Meditation can be done while you're washing the fucking dishes. Okay. This doesn't have to be a formal thing. It does have to be an intention. When I'm meditating on something, I can go for a walk and like, I'm going to think about this. I'm going to ask myself all the questions about this. You can meditate while you're taking a bath. You can meditate while you're washing the dishes. You can meditate while you're playing in a garden. You can meditate while you're vacuuming, while you're Swiffering, now that we all Swiffer, all of these, like you can meditate. It doesn't have to be this formal thing that takes you out. It can go along with you, right? And so what I want you to do is allocate time to reflect on why these critical thoughts might be surfacing. The things that you brought up in the C, acknowledgement, compassionately acknowledge. I want you to now allocate time to allow space for self-reflection. Using this mindful meditation, think about, sit with your thoughts, not literally sit, but sit in your brain with these thoughts. Sit with it, like keep going over and like, why do I keep doing that? Where did that come from? When was the first time I heard it, right? Use this to think about and observe them without attaching or an immediate reaction to the thoughts. Create what I call listening room. This is something I do with my clients formally, but you can do a modified version here. See the part that thinks I'm not good enough and ask it, what is it protecting me from? What do you want me to know? And finally, what is it that it may need to hear from you? This is when you see it as a team member and you guys are on the same team, not enemies. This is self-compassion. Number 3. The aura, respond with kindness. And that can be self-assurance. The action here is, after acknowledging and reflecting on your critical thoughts, consciously respond with kindness. Again, this is where you tell yourself what it is you need to hear from you. I'm here. I choose me no matter what. I'm not leaving me. I would never turn my back on you. Like you're talking to that part of you that's like, I'm inadequate. I know such and such. What does it need to hear from you? We're not going anywhere. I'm here. You'll never be alone. I'm never going to leave you. I will never turn my back on you. Even after your biggest mistake, I am here. We are in this together. I love you with your imperfections. Imagine if you said that to yourself with an energy that radiated every cell in your body. Think about how safe, your cells would feel, the signal that you would give to your nervous system. I am enough just as I am because I said I was, and I offer myself love. It resonates safety. That's what self-compassion does. Number four, embrace your journey is the E. Develop a growth mindset. In this one, I want you to recognize that your journey includes both successes and setbacks. It contributes to your growth and understanding. It's never going to be a straight upward line. It's going to be like the Dow Jones, up and down one day, down the next day, and sometimes up and down several times within that day. Celebrate your small wins and learn from experiences without harsh self-judgment. I want you to use this as an example. After completing a challenging project, instead of focusing solely on what you could have done better, take time to acknowledge what went well. What did you learn? And how have you grown from this experience? In fact, do that first, then bring up the things that you would do differently. This shift can mean everything. By integrating these steps and tools into your daily routines using the CARE framework, you can begin to shift your inner dialogue from one of criticism to one of support and encouragement. The more you use those listening rooms, the more your cells will feel supported. The more your harsh critic is allowed to say freely what it wants and what it is trying to protect you from, and the more you tell it it is okay, the less it will scream. The harsh critic will then become a whisperer instead of a screamer and a tormentor, because it has been heard. And that's all our self-critic ever really wants, is to be heard. Self-compassion is more than a practice. It's a way of living that brings us closer to our true selves. For us as a demographic, as Black women, the lack of self-compassion is not just a personal issue. It is a conditioned collective hurdle that stands in the way of our greater aspirations and achievements. We often face unique pressures and systemic challenges that can erode our sense of self-worth and impede our progress. But here's the powerful truth. Self-compassion isn't a get-out-of-jail card free. It's a profound privilege and a choice we get to offer ourselves. Queens, it's our right to turn inward with kindness, to affirm our worth, and by golly, to nurture our growth despite the external noise and demands. And y'all know I wanted to say something besides by golly, right? By embracing the CARE principle, we shift from being our biggest critics to becoming our most supportive allies. And you talk about safety when you know you are your most supportive ally. That is safe. This builds that inner trust and safety to our most inner parts, including ourselves. This isn't about excusing ourselves from accountability. It's about giving ourselves the space to flourish and succeed and the biology to do so. Let's embark on this journey to gentleness together, transforming not just our inner world, but how we navigate everything around us, paving the way for more significant, more authentic creations in our lives and in our communities. Now, I said that I would share a little bit about my journey with self-compassion. I'm not going to give examples because I think I've given examples before of how I allowed self-compassion. But what I want to say, for me, bringing compassion for myself wherever I was has been a game changer. It's the thing that allows me to stay the course longer. Even though the ships may be rocking, the seas may be going, the winds may go on, and everything says bail, I stayed the course longer because of self-compassion. Because what self-compassion has allowed me to do is to be regulated. And not only am I regulated by feeling, but I am regulated by data because I watch my state of regulation using smart scientific data and wearable technologies that I teach my clients. So not only do I feel it, but I can measure it and I can see it ahead of time if I'm trending down or away, and I act accordingly, which is compassionate. Like, to see myself, to measure it is compassionate. And it gives me more time to figure shit out because I stay the course. And when you stay the course, you have more time to figure it out than you figure it out. And then we solve bigger problems. And when we solve bigger problems, we make more money and we close the power gap. It's also the thing that allows me to have more compassion for others. It's the thing that allows me to be one of the best coaches I can be, because whoever's in front of me, no matter where they're going from, if they work at Walmart or if they're the head of Walmart, I don't give a damn. I am self-compassionate to the journey because we all are imperfect. We all have human tendencies. We all shit, fart, belch, and have diarrhea. Like I said, I have wiped some of the best asses, and I meant that. If I can have compassion for me and my shit and not hide from it, but face it and feel it and call it out and see it clearly and offer myself love, I can do that for others easily as well. And for the people who have the hardest time doing it with others, sometimes it's because they're not doing it really for themselves. They allow for the highs, but they are not allowing for the imperfections. And that is the gap. This is what I've learned over the years of me beating myself up to get shit done. And I credited it to what got me over. Like, the beating up is the thing that got me. And what I now think of is, damn, I accomplished so much in spite of me being an asshole to myself. How much more could I have done if I hadn't been, if I had been self-compassionate? And maybe that's something you can ask yourself. What if all that I accomplished was in spite of, not because I was being hard on myself? Now, that's something I want you to journal on. Be compassionate. It is our privilege and our right to choose to be kind to ourselves and accept our humanness, our shared humanity, just like everybody else. And until next time, queens, I'll see you next week. All right. Bye, guys.
Did you enjoy this podcast? Well, I have a personal invitation. I want to spend time with you, coach you, talk about the issues that are affecting you. We do this in a community we call the Melanin Hour, created just for us high-achieving Black women. You can register at brickjohnson.com/coaching. And don't forget, Deeply Rooted is where we put all this shit together. We immerse ourselves and we master this. 6 months, you, me, and a bunch of women that look like you and got a little melanin in them. That's Deeply Rooted. You can register for the wait list at brickjohnson.com/group. Hope to see you there. Bye.